Frank Mitlerner, who's an air quality extension specialist, Department of Animal Science, University of California, be speaking to animal agriculture.
Well, I was asked to talk about livestock and how livestock affects climate change and how it's affected by climate change. Now, livestock is vulnerable to climate extremes. We've seen this over the last decades that climate extremes are increasing. I've seen it with my own eyes that in countries like Australia or Paraguay, during heat waves, thousands of animals either died or showed severe losses in performance. Just last year, I witnessed an extreme weather event in California where within 1 week, 30,000 milking cows died. And the whole herd, which is the largest in the United States, showed decreases in productivity of one-third for 4 months. So climate extremes are affecting livestock production. There's no doubt about that. Cause and effect to climate change, we can't prove right now, but we do know that livestock is affected by variability in climate. Now, some of you might have read the recent United Nations report titled Livestock's Long Shadow, which assigned 18% of total anthropogenic greenhouse gases to livestock, stating that livestock produces more greenhouse gases than all transportation, and that's where this is coming from. Eat less meat, drink less milk, and therefore cool down the earth, basically. Now, this has been a very controversial report, but you can't take these global numbers and apply them regionally. And I think that's one of the chief issues that is being done, that this 18% number is now applied to the United States and to Brazil and to all the other places in the world. And that's one of the big issues there. Now, let me talk about what are the three main contributors of livestock to global climate change. And I have to differentiate between developed countries and developing countries. Globally, the main impact of livestock production is believed to be in land use changes, in deforestation and subsequent establishment of pastures. Approximately half of the contribution of livestock to climate change is due to land use changes. That's globally and particularly applicable to developing countries, but not to developed countries. The United States, for example, total amount of forested land is increasing, not decreasing. And it's certainly not changing due to livestock production. We had these changes occurring in Europe or in North America a couple hundred years ago. So, but in countries like Brazil or Paraguay or so, these land use changes are currently occurring. And that's where a majority of this livestock portion is coming from. That's due to land use changes. The second most important point for livestock's contribution to climate change is enteric fermentation, which means that this 40, 50 gallon rumen of the cow, steer, bull, whatever, is continuously filled with fermentable feedstuff, and methanogens are producing methane inside. That methane has to come out. It comes out the front end and produces a significant amount of methane, the largest proportion or the largest amount globally with respect to methane. The third, and that, of course, occurs anywhere you have livestock. That's not a developing versus developed country kind of issue. The third most important issue with respect to livestock is manure management. We know that approximately a quarter of the total livestock contribution to climate change, to greenhouse gases, is from manure. But two-thirds to three-quarters is through enteric fermentation. However, how do you regulate enteric fermentation? How do you tell the cow to produce less methane, basically? So that's where it kind of gets really difficult. And last not least, an important contributor of livestock production is also the application of manure to soils and therefore nitrogen compounds that make it all the way into nitrous oxide. Let me just really briefly tell you what I think one of the biggest mitigation factors is. I think that one of the biggest livestock, global livestock mitigation factors is to reconsider land use changes for livestock production. Whenever we clear-cut forests for whatever purpose, whether it's livestock production or soil production or other production, we take a big sequestering source away. That's a very important point to make. The second one on enteric fermentation, I think the greatest gain that we can make or get is by increasing efficiencies of production in livestock production. Just to give you a little example, the difference between 1944 and 2007 cows is that 2007 cows, for example, here in the United States, are much more efficient. To produce 1 billion kilograms of milk in 2007, we need 20% less cows, 25% less feed, 10% less land. In 2007, we produced 40% less methane and 56% less nitrous oxide compared to 1944. The reason for that is an improvement in efficiency, and these are huge gains. Last but not least, on the manure side, we can reduce greenhouse gases pretty efficiently. We have several systems. They are referred to as digesters, where we take animal manure, we put it in a containment facility. We basically allow methanogens, methane-producing microbes, to ferment the organic material and produce methane. And this methane is then burned and generates electricity. Or this methane can be used to generate clean natural gas, or hydrogen, or ethanol. Just to give you one example, I come from a village in Germany that has decided 5 years ago to establish a very large digester. It's a 1,000-year-old village, old structures. They have built a large digester, and that digester is now fed with animal manure, dairy and swine manure, with food residues, food waste from humans, with green clippings, with any kind of residual compounds from plant production. And they produce methane. The methane is burned. The heat from the burning is heating up a large water tower. And this heated water is now going through a pipeline system into every household of the village, heating up all the homes. And the power that's generated is used to power the entire village. This village is now the first one in the world that's off the grid through use of its biomass generated in this local community. 50 additional communities have applied for similar projects in Germany. And at UC Davis, we're currently developing a system very, very similar to it. We already have a pilot plant, and we want to use all the biomass generated on campus to fuel a large residential area.
That's an exciting thing. So we should have like Save the Children, Save the Cow. We should each adopt our own cow, and then we can all. I'm not being funny. I'm being halfway serious about the fact that people seeing it as part of the solution as opposed to part of the problem.
No cow left behind.
It becomes a virtuous circle, is what it is.